God is a good God, and I'm going to experience good because of him. Hey, man, wouldn't that be a good declaration every day, that God is a good God? All right. Let me remind you of the question that I asked you last week. Have you been asking God for it to show you his glory this week? Come on. Let's not get off that. That wasn't just like, you know, I didn't wake up last Sunday morning super excited. Let me just say this. No, it's something that God is stirring in me. Show me your glory. And when Moses asked God to show him his glory, he says, I will show you my goodness. I will show you my goodness. Amen. God wants to show us. We're not asking God to do something he don't already want to do. But he needs us to ask him for it. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So we talked about God, show me your glory. And we talked last week about what is the glory of God. Well, the glory of God is the presence of God. We looked at it, right, in Exodus. It is the presence of God. It is the power of God. And it is the goodness of God. So when Moses said, show me your glory, he says, show me your presence. Show me your power. Show me your goodness. And God says, hey, no problem, but be glad to. Amen. God wants us to experience those things more than I think we really want to experience them ourselves. You know? All right. Well, let's go on today. Let's move a little further into this. Oh, my God. This is so good. Thank you, Lord. All right. Psalm 21. Go to Psalm 21. Oh, man. This is a good one. The goodness of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your presence in this place today. We thank you for the presence of God. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you that you are showing us your glory, not only in services like this, but God, you are showing us your glory on a daily basis. For surely good things are happening to us today, Father. That's what I declare over this church, Lord, on a regular basis, Lord. I thank you for the goodness of God manifesting in their lives. And Father, we come with our hearts open, receptive, and ready to respond to the word of God. We're going to hear this word, and we're going to apply it to our, we're going to allow it to be assimilated to us, Lord. It's going to become part of who we are, that we are people that are seeking and passionately pursuing the goodness of God. We just praise you, Lord, that you are a good God, and you do good things, and we just honor you, Lord, and we just thank you right now. I thank you for your anointing upon these lips of clay. Help me to speak your word uncompromised, unhindered by any outside force, but it will land on each and every heart, custom fit. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place. Father God, that you would give us ears, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the Difference Church. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody that agrees with that said, amen. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. 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 In fact, you know, you think about Christmas, and what's one of the things that it says, I'll probably talk a little bit about this next week, but try not to get too far ahead of myself. But the Bible says that he came to bring us good news of great joy. Right? When he's talking about Jesus. He is good news of great joy. Right? We're told to go and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news. The good news. Amen. God has good things for us, and he wants us to rise up to that place where we can receive all that he has for us. Amen. All right, Psalm 21, now the New Living Translation. I'm going to be like in about two or three different translations today, but that'll be all right. It'll help you. Amen. Glory to God. How many glad you don't have to eat potatoes prepared just one way? Aren't you glad that you can have them fried? Boiled, mashed, you know, what is it, sliced? You know, we can have potatoes all, tater tots, potato chips. Come on. When I bust out different translations, we're just having a different flavor, a different style of the same nutrient, right? Not nutria, nutrient. It's a big, big difference. All right. All right. I think you'd probably have to be in the Northwest to know what nutria means. I don't think I've ever seen one of those in the South. But we had possums and crocodiles and big old snakes and stuff. So, all right. Psalm 21. I'm gonna jump all the way down. I want you to see this verse, and then we're gonna go back and we're gonna kind of look at some things, man. This is awesome. Listen to this. So this is David, right? And he's talking about, you know, going to war and stuff like this. In fact, I'm not gonna have you turn there, but just across the page there, though, chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry." In times of trouble. How many know God can help you when you're in times of trouble? You don't have to wait till everything's honky-dory, as we say in the South. You know, you don't have to wait till everything's just wonderful and peachy keen, right, to go, "Oh, God's taking care of me." How many know? I think it's even more triumphant and more victorious when you can be in the midst of an adversity, in the midst of a challenge, in the midst of a situation under an attack of the enemy, and you can say, "My God is a good God, and he does good things, and he's going to bring good out of this, and I'm going to be the better for it. Glory to God. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to moan in the trial. I'm going to rejoice in the trial, and rejoicing is going to bring me out of this trial." Amen. 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 How many, God wants to bring you through? How many know if you stop in the middle, you don't get through? A lot of people, a lot of Christians, they get out in the middle of a trial and they all start moaning and groan. "Oh, this has been going for 13 minutes. Oh, what is going on?" How many know it doesn't matter if it's 13 minutes, 13 hours, 13 days, or 13 weeks or months. Come on. God is still faithful. He's still doing something. We looked at it last week. God is still working behind the scenes. He's working on your behalf. He's doing things. We keep our praise on him, right? "Oh, Father, I just rejoice." I told you about Psalm 22, verse 6 last week. It says God inhabits the praises of his people. One of the definitions of that word inhabits means he sets up an ambushment. In other words, while we're praising God, the devil's getting his butt whipped by the God. God's working him over and telling him, "Oh no, you're not going any further in this. You're not messing with them anymore in this. No, your days of working in them are over. I'm turning their situation for victory." Glory to God. And all you're doing is like, "Oh Jesus, we just worship you. We praise you, Lord." You're like, "But that don't make sense." Well, no, it don't make sense, but it does make faith. And that's the kind of people we are. Amen. Amen. God is so, so good. And I'm not going to stop saying he's good just because I'm facing a trial. That trial has got to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And when we live our life in a trial with that mentality, I like what Dad Hagin used to say. He said, you know, he says, if you will commit to living that kind of life in the face of adversity, then you'll find out it don't seem to take very long for your answer to come. I think what makes some of our trials seem to last on is because we get in the midst of it, then we start mumbling and grumbling, then somebody has to, "Come on, don't be doing that." Then you get back on track with God, and then you get off by yourself listening to the thoughts of the enemy, then you start mumbling and grumbling and start going through all this, and then somebody has to remind you, "No, get back on track with God." Come on, what if we just stayed on track with God? How many know if a train is going down a track and it keeps getting off the track, it's going to take a whole lot longer to get to its destination? But what about a train that stays on its track? It doesn't come up onto a big old mountain and go, "Oh, I'm not going to make it over that one." Right? I can't remember what that train thing is now. The little train that could. Come on, be the little train that could. And then before you know it, you'll be the little train that did. Right. Amen. Yeah. Glory. All right, I didn't even give you that verse yet, man. We didn't even got to the word, and this is already good. All right. Look at this, though. He says in verse chapter 21, verse 11 and 12, he says, "Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed." Right? Now, what does that mean to us? He actually had a physical enemy. But what the Lord is speaking to us through that is that we have an enemy. His name is the devil. And everything evil that he tries to do against you, the Bible says that his evil schemes will never succeed. For they will turn and run. Come on, they will turn and run. remind you of that scripture. I think it's, what is it, over at 1 Peter, somewhere along in there. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. That word flee in the Greek means, it means to run in stark terror. But if you sit around all day talking about how the devil is just terrorizing you, right, you're just building him up in your own mind and in your own heart. But what if you begin to put terror into him? Resist the devil. No, you're not going to get me to speak against the word. No, you're not going to get me to be led by my feelings. No, I'm not going to be led by emotions. I know what the word says. I'm going to stand on that word, and you are going to run in stark terror from me. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee. How many know that's a promise from God? You resist him, and he will flee. Right? How many know sometimes when you resist something, it takes more than just one little three-second, I resist you. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, my goodness. Right? No. You lying devil from hell. I'm not nice with him. Well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I want his feelings hurt as much as I can hurt them. Right? I have no compassion for him. Right? He is defeated. Right? He is the arch enemy of God. Come on. Right? The Bible says resist the devil and he would flee. You know what? I don't know about you, but I actually believe that scripture. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for that scripture. But he says here, he says, although they plot against you, also reminds me of this other scripture over in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed. See, we get freaked out because they're getting formed. Right? We see bad stuff starting to brew around us. So it's just being formed. The Bible says no weapon. The Bible didn't say you would never have weapons formed against you. But it did say no weapon that is formed would prosper. And every tongue that would rise up against you in judgment shall be proven to be in the wrong. For why? For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, he says. Amen. So when the enemy tries to remind you of, well, this ain't going to work. Remember what you did back in 1947? Remember what happened back in 1997 for you younger folk? Wait, some of them are still too young. Remember what happened back in 2007? Remember what happened just 2 years ago in 2017? Remember what you did when you were arguing on the way to church this morning? Right? Come on. No weapon. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. It may look like it. I don't care what it looks like. We are not quitters. We don't quit and we don't give up. Amen? All right, let's look at that. All right, jump up. Go up here to verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3 out of the New King James. I love this. And I'm going to show you something. I think it'll bless you if you hear it. Right? Verse 3. Well, in the New Living, it says, you welcomed him back with success and prosperity. I want you to see this. The New King James says it this way, for you meet him with blessings of goodness. You meet him with blessings of goodness. What does that mean? What is that? That word meet actually means, in the Hebrew, it means to project, to precede, to anticipate. In other words, what is he saying? He says, while you were out fighting, God had already preceded you with blessings of goodness. Before that attack showed up in your life, God had already preceded you. He had already anticipated it. And he says, you know what? I knew it was going to happen, but I've already set things up for you. If you will keep trusting me, you will keep your eyes fixed on me. Oh, my goodness, have I got some good things in store for you. Boy, I'm going to be honest, that deserved a whole lot bigger shout than what you gave me. Okay. Digest louder. Okay, here we go. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. In more understandable terms, that word meet means it's already waiting for you. God's already set things up for you. He's already prepared. Remember, we've been talking about that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered the heart of man. But God has already prepared these things for us. He has gone ahead. He has set things up. All we got to do is stay on track and walk right into the blessing. Walk right into the good things. What does it tell us over in Psalm 23? Surely, 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 good, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Everywhere I go, there's goodness right there. Right on my trail, man. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what I would do if I wasn't dwelling in the house of the Lord? I'd start dwelling in the house of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that those you will flourish for those who are planted in the house of God, you shall flourish. I would start planting. I would start getting involved. I would start saying, No, I'm getting planted. I'm gonna start flourishing. Praise God. I love that. But that word meet, for you meet him with blessings of goodness. It's not like they went out and they came back and God's like, oh, I gotta come up with something real quick. No, God's like, no, as soon as they get back, oh man, they're fixing to find that the blessings of God is so much greater than what they just went through. Amen. So let me ask this question. Why quit? How many's ever been tempted to quit? All right, some of you just need repentance for lying in the house of God. Oh, my goodness. All right. Come on, we've all been tempted to quit at something somewhere. You know, I mean, you've been believing God, trusting God for something, but you're just tempted to go, ah, this ain't working. So why quit? What benefit is there in quitting? If you quit, you are surely not going to get your victory. But if you stay with it, you say, no, it's hard right now. Things have not been going as well as I want them to right now. But I'm not giving up on God. I'm not quitting. I'm going to stand on his word, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, when you've done everything you know to do to stand, what is the next word? Stand, therefore. You just keep standing on the word of God. The devil is a liar. See, the problem is we live in this society where there's microwaves and fast food restaurants, and we want everything. You know, they even come out with, you know, Uber and all this because you don't want to wait on a taxi cab. Right? I mean, there's other reasons. But I'm just saying, we live in this instant society. We want everything fixed right away. Oh, well, you don't have money to buy that? Just get a credit card, man. That'll really help you. Right? Right? And so we live in this society where everything's instant, and we don't want to be patient. Right? If we can get it on credit, we don't have to trust God. See, that's just a ploy of the enemy. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have credit or it's bad that you got credit, but if you're not using wisdom with it, you'll find yourself in so much debt in a hurry you don't even know what to do. But it all comes from I don't want to wait for it. And see, and that right, that kind of mentality is counterintuitive to what the way the word works. Right? We find a scripture that promises is what we. Here's the deal. A lot of people are trying to believe God for stuff that they don't even know is in the Word. F.F. Bosworth said it this way. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know that it's God's will for you, there's no way you can put faith in it. You can't do it. You don't have no idea that that's God's will for you. So when the Bible says all things are possible, it's all things are possible to them that believe. If you're making sure that the all things you're believing for is in the word or promised in the word, right? How many know when it says all things are possible doesn't mean I can jump off a building and sprout wings and fly, right? You know, if you ever try that, probably won't live to tell about it anyway, right? Hallelujah. But God does have good and wonderful things for us. There is so much in the word that God promises us all these wonderful things. But he says here, he says, Well, let me do this. I want to do this, right? I wrote this down. I felt this, impressed by the Lord to write this down. This is something that we should just start declaring every day on top of, God, show me your glory, right? I am surrounded by the goodness of God. Everybody say that with me. Say, I am surrounded by the goodness of God. See, that is something. Say it again. I am surrounded by the goodness of God. That's, one more time. Come on. I am surrounded by the goodness of God. See, you need to write that down and put it on your mirror or put it somewhere where you can see it. Then remind yourself. Declare that every day. Declare that every day. I am surrounded by the goodness of God. One thing that I like to say a lot is, surely good things are happening to me today. Surely good things are happening in my family today. Surely good things are happening in our church today. Father, I say, Lord, I just thank you that good things, you are causing good things to happen for the church people, for the church family. Come on. Surely good things are happening to us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to cruise here a little bit. All right, here we go. Let's look at verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read through it, then I'm going to read a couple of them in a different translation, and we're going to move on, and I think it's going to bless you. But let's just read this 7 verses and see what God is saying to us. He says, how the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. He shouts with joy because you gave him victory. Because you give him victory. So that doesn't mean we wait until we have the victory before we shout. He says, how the king, now David's talking about himself here. He's the king he's talking about, right? He's King David. And he said, how the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. How he shouts, the king shouts with joy because you give him the victory. In fact, it's shouting, shouting with joy is actually what brings the victory. It's too quiet up in here. Okay. All right. Verse 2. I think somewhere in these next 6 verses, I'll get a shout somewhere. Okay, here we go. For you have given him his heart's desire. Oh, yeah, I knew I'd get a shout there. Yeah, I knew I was going to get something up in there. Okay. For you have given him his heart's desire. Watch this. And have withheld nothing he requested. Yeah, that's a good place to shout too. Right? All right, let's keep going. There's other good stuff here. You have welcomed him back with success and prosperity. You placed a crown of the finest gold on his head. Come on. He asked you to preserve his life, and you granted his request. Come on. He asked you to preserve his life. The king asked God to preserve his life, and God granted his request. The days of his life stretch on forever and ever, right? Or so it seemed, right? Your victory brings him great honor, and you have clothed him in the splendor and majesty. You have endowed him, the king, with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7, watch this. For the king, this is why all this stuff is happening. Everything that happened in 1 through 6 is because of verse 7. For the king, or you could say because, instead of for, because the king trusts in the Lord. And the unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling. Woo-wee! That is some good stuff. You know why that's possible? Because God is a good God. And he does good. Amen. Let's look at a couple of verses that I just really like in the message. In verse 2, he says, you gave him exactly what he wanted, and you didn't hold back. Yep, that was a shout moment right there. Come on, you guys got to show up with your shouters on, man. Come on. Right? Come on. I mean, God is so good. I love that he says, you gave him exactly what he wanted, and you didn't hold back. You didn't hold back. God ain't holding back stuff, good stuff from you. He's got good stuff for you. Woo-wee. All right, let's look at verse 4. This one is a good one, too. Verse 4 in the message, it says, he wanted a good life. You gave it to him, And then you made it a long life as a bonus. God's like, you know what? I'm just going to give you a bonus, man. I'm going to not only going to give you a good life, but I'm going to give you a good long life. Amen. What does that tell us? That means if the doctor's trying to tell you stuff that makes it sound like your life ain't going to be very long, you just said, no, that's not the report I believe. The Bible says, whose report will we believe? But we choose to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. God says, I can have long life and a long good life. I can have a long good life as a bonus. Hallelujah. I thought that was so good. Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. I forgot to write the scriptures down for these guys, so they'll try to keep up with me, but I'm going to cruise here a little bit. Psalm 119, verse 68. In the New Living, it says, you are good, and you do only good. So that eliminates the idea, well, sometimes God does good things, and sometimes he does bad things to teach you a lesson. No, God never does bad things to teach you a lesson. He gave you the Holy Spirit to teach you, to lead you and to guide you into all truth. Man, how many people, millions of people have bought into the lie? Well, you know, sometimes God just, you know, sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait a while. You ain't gonna find that in the Word of God. That's messed up thinking. No, he says all the promises of God in him, they're yes and amen, right? All right, he says, for you are good and you do only good. You are good and you do only good. God is a good God. All right, how about Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. The Lord, this is the latter part of it, the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. The Lord will withhold no good thing thing for those that live uprightly or do what is right. You know what? If I lived a life and while I wasn't doing right, you know what I'd start doing? Start doing right. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You don't need 5 years of some kind of college to understand that, right? If one way is not working for you, read the book and find out there's a better way. Amen. All right, let's look at this one last verse and I'll close down with this. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. This is so good. You guys getting anything out of this today? Glory to God. God is so good. He has so many wonderful, good things for us. He has laid, we've looked at scriptures where it says he has laid things up for us, right? He has prepared things for us, right? He has gone ahead and made provision for things before we even get there. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I think when people are praying for God to do something, they think that God's got to come up with something because they just found out that they're in this moment. They're in this challenge. Now, God's got to come. God's got to figure out a way to deal with this. Now, God knew long before you were born that that was going to happen. And he made the provision long before you ever hit the planet. Right? Watch this. This is wonderful. This is awesome. I'm reading now the Amplified. It says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, his own master work, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works. Right? Which God, watch this, prepared for us beforehand. Taking paths, this is key. Taking paths which he set. What does that mean? That means you can't walk just any path and get these blessings. Right? So he prepared us, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus. Spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us. He prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, so that we would walk in them. Taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he, here it is again, pre-arranged and made ready for us. Ha ha. taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them. What does that mean? That means your destiny is not for you to decide. There's not a single person on the planet gets to decide their own destiny. Now, there's a lot of people that have tried to define their own destiny. Some have even known what God's calling them to do, but I don't want to do that. I want to go do my own thing. Well, guess what? Here's the deal. You can do that. You won't be fulfilled, by the way. But you can do that. What else are you not going to get? All the blessings that God has prearranged for you and put on a path that he has already set out for you. Come on, I use this illustration. I can't remember what, maybe a year or so ago, whatever. And I was talking, I used my son Elijah as an example. And I said, you know, I said, if I told Elijah, look, dude, I've already pre-planned this amazing journey for you. Right? Right? So you go out here in your car, you get on I-5 and you go south. And then when you get to this town, eat at this restaurant. And when you get to this town, stay at this hotel. And when you get to this town, do this. When you get to this town, do that. And I said, if you'll do that, you'll find that it will be a most wonderful, blessed journey of your life. And Elijah's like, Dad, thanks. That is awesome. Right? Then he gets in his car and he goes out here and he gets to the interstate. And instead of going south, he decides, I don't really want to go south. I want to go north. So he gets on I-5 and he starts heading north. And then he gets to whatever town and then he just picks a restaurant. He goes in, buys the food. Maybe the food's horrible, right? Then he goes to get gas and the gas is just ridiculously expensive. And then he goes on to the next town. And what is happening? Because he didn't take the path that was set for him, he is not running into all the blessings. Right? So what he would not have known and what I didn't tell him is that because I wanted him to trust me, is that get on here, go south, and when you get to this town, what he don't know is I've already prearranged for his meal to be paid for. And I've already prearranged for his gas to be paid for. And I've already prearranged for this good thing to happen. And I've already prearranged. I mean, he's going south anyway. That's like going towards Disneyland. Well, he don't know is when he gets to this hotel, the front desk, I've already bought the tickets. And I told them when he gets here, give him his Disneyland tickets. But he don't run into all those because he decided, I don't want to go with the plan that was already set for me. I want to do my own thing. So I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm not running into anything that God has already set up for me. Amen? But God is a good God. And did you know this? That even if he gets on, if Elijah gets on I-5 and he heads north, and then he starts going to all these places, and he calls me and says, hey, Dad, I don't know what's going on, but I ain't running into anything good. The price is ridiculously expensive. The food's not good. They're overcharging for the food. This has happened. That has happened. The hotels are horrible that I'm running into. I'm like, well, where are you? Well, instead of going south, like you said, I decided I wanted to go north. This is God right here. You ready for this? Well, son, tell you what. Get back in your car. Go back out to the interstate. And go south. And then you keep driving. And when you get to this place, as I told you, life will be better. Isn't that wonderful how good God is? God don't go, well, listen here, you bonehead. If you had not gone north and gone south like I told you to, then you wouldn't have been experiencing all that negative stuff. Well, now you're just on your own. You just got to figure it out on your own. How many are glad God's not like that? God's like, even, how many feels like you ever made some mistakes with your direction? Right? Hey, we've all been there, right? But this is the best thing I've learned about God. When you realize that you've gotten out of the will of God, just get back in. When you step out, ooh, this is not good. I'm not liking what I'm experiencing here. I've learned just step right back into the will of God. Right? And so, you know, he gets back on there and he starts going south. Then he starts running to all these wonderful things that I had already set up beforehand for him to walk in them. Right? God has set up nothing but good for you. God has set up nothing but good for you in this life. God is a good God and he does good. In fact, the Bible says he is good and he does only good. Isn't that wonderful? God is a good, good God. Amen.